I'm Elena Hutchins Lyle.
And I'm Harvinder Vadva.
We're the hosts of Inappropriate Questions, and we're back with season 3.
With some fantastic guests, we break down questions like,
is asking where are you from appropriate small talk?
Is it okay to ask a coworker how much do you make?
Should you ask a polyamorous person, do you get jealous?
Inappropriate Questions season 3. Available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I always think about like me and like the fact that I'm turning 35 this year. My mom was 34 when her and my dad like split up, and like basically from then onwards, like hurt and trauma, all this like leading up to them separating and divorcing. Yeah. That was when my mom went like this, completely like downhill, and like it's never gone uphill.
This is Other People's Problems, a show about therapy. I'm Hillary McBride. I'm a clinical counselor in Vancouver, and you're about to hear something rare. Something that is usually never heard outside the door of my therapy office. I'm going to take you behind that door, directly into the personal lives of some of my clients, and let you listen in on what happens during our sessions where they bravely deal with their fears, anxieties, and troubles. Everything you're about to hear is completely real, nothing staged. They have agreed to let you in on their most private moments because they believe therapy has made a huge difference in their lives. And they want to help open up more real conversations about mental health. Maybe along the way, we'll discover that other people's problems are a lot like our own. This episode is with one of my clients we're calling Sloan. Sloan is a woman who I've been working with for about a year and a half now, who came to see me because she was having a lot of emotional disruption and feeling like her internal world and her relationships were chaotic and disorganized and everything felt so intense and messy all the time. Sloan is preparing for her own wedding and she's dealing with some of the dynamics with her family and some of the relational wounds that exist between her and her family members.
Weddings are interesting because it brings like so many different families together. So I saw so many different family dynamics when I was at my friend's wedding. It was just so interesting to see so many different family units and perspectives that, you know, we can't really be so obsessed with like our parents and like what they did wrong all the time. Like we just have to continue to move forward and see like what we can learn from those scenarios and how we can take that and do the best that we can like when we like move forward. And I'm just kind of like over defending my mom. Even like a good example is that like my mom and I never didn't talk. Like I didn't talk to my mom or my dad while I was away. And then I called her as soon as I got back into town and she was like, oh, like welcome back. Like how was like your trip? And I said everything was good. And then she's like, okay, well I gotta run because I'm going to do some errands, but I'll give you a call later today. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Never heard from her. So I was like, all right, whatever. And then the next day, still like didn't hear from her. So I'm like, I called her again myself just to wanted to like get a better idea from her if she was coming to our wedding and like how that was coming along and how like I needed to know because I'm doing all her arrangements and I want to make sure that it's all done. And then she was like, yeah, like I want to bring two friends. And I was like, well, I need to know who they are and I need to know if they're going to come for sure. And I'm like, and she wouldn't tell me. Called my mom today, she didn't answer. So I'm just kind of like over it now. I feel like...
You keep using that word. What does over it mean?
Just like I'm over the whole... For the longest time, I didn't want to believe that like something was wrong with my mom or that something was wrong with the way that we were raised because I always wanted to like defend my mom. My dad had some like areas in which he was wrong and then my mom did things that she was wrong and I kept on defending her. I kept on saying like she's a victim and she's just doing like what she knows how to do. And I kept on doing that. And now I'm like over the fact that now that I know that I think both my parents are wrong or not wrong, that they both done things that are not right. I don't need any answers from them anymore. I'm just kind of like over that. And I kind of just want to move forward. I kind of just want to like like, not really deal with their shit. And
it sounds like, can I put some words to this? It sounds like you've decided that you don't have to keep protecting yourself and them and other people from the reality of what you went through, which is some pretty horrific abuse. And as you started to look at your story and face the things that you've been through, it gets harder and harder to ignore just how painful those things were. But as you start to look at all of those things and you start to unpack them and resolve them, you don't need to stay stuck in them anymore, and you can move past. And there's this resolve I'm hearing coming up in you that says, I don't want this to define me anymore. So this, like, defending them and kind of naming that, you know, she's a victim and she was hurt too, maybe that was something you needed to do for a while to kind of protect you from how bad everything was. But now that you're coming into your strength and resolving things, you don't need to protect anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm also, like, annoyed at my mom because I feel like maybe now I understand, like, that she can be really manipulative, and I don't want to be manipulated anymore. She'll say things to me like, I'm still, you know, pending for your wedding. But she'll tell me things like, I think I'm going to, like, die soon. And I'm just like, at first it would really bother me. Like, it would really hurt me that my mom was saying this, because I would go through all these emotions. Like, I would feel guilt that I don't see her enough.
Yeah.
And I would feel really bad that I don't talk to her enough. I don't call her enough. I don't see her enough. And then when I do see her, typically it like, doesn't end well, or, like, there's normally, like, animosity or resentment, or there's, like, friction when we visit, because I get annoyed at my mom. I get annoyed at, like, looking at her, being around her, seeing her.
She's really triggering for you.
Yeah, and it's more that I'm annoyed at the fact, because I have a photo of my mom when she, like, before she came to Canada, and she was, like, she's beautiful. And, like, I've seen photos of my mom, like, throughout her years of, like, being married and all this sort of stuff. And then during that, like, she let herself go. And she had 4 children, and she didn't, like, lose all her weight. And she's probably, like, went through a lot of, like, trauma with that as well, with being bullied and through family and friends and everything. But I just feel like she stopped caring. And that annoys me the most, is that she...
What's so bad about that? Why is it so
she stopped caring about herself? Caring.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm selfish, but, like, I feel like when I have kids, I'm going to, like, care about myself and show them how important it is for me to take care of myself. And doing that in return, it's providing for them. It's being strong and healthy for them, versus my mom's story of saying to me that I did everything for you guys. Right. But it's like, I let myself die, or I'm letting myself die, and, like, I'm letting myself, like, you know, basically rot for you. And that's not, like, a nice thing to hear as a kid.
I had a hunch in that moment that Sloan was talking not just about her mom, but also about herself. I had a sense that she was trying to articulate something that she values, but was doing it by using her mom's story. And I wanted her to be able to own the things that she wanted and to say them out loud between us.
What do you feel talking about all this stuff? Can you name the emotions?
I feel frustrated.
I hear that, yeah. What else?
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I'm not angry about it anymore. Like, I do feel a little bit of anger, I guess, when I said that, in my throat tightened up. So I do feel angry about it.
Great awareness of your body. That's fantastic.
And to be honest, I also feel scared. Like, I'm really nervous about and scared to kind of, even though it's like I can't fortune tell or predict when my mom's going to die, but I just feel like when she does, I already know that I'm going to take care of everything, because it's already, like, my responsibility to, like, take care of, like, her funeral and, like, all that stuff. Not that I should be talking about all this, but I'm, like, afraid of what, like, all her friends gonna, like, say about us. So, like, they have all these ideas about us as kids, and they think that we're just out there now, like, living it up, or have, like, abandoned our mother. And, like, clearly she has stories that she's told them, and we're not there to, like, defend ourselves.
Right.
Or in that, I also have a lot of, like, questions and that I'll probably never have answered because I just won't have the guts ever to ask people these questions. But I'm also like annoyed at some of my aunts and my mom's friends who have noticed that my mom was kind of going through this like downward spiral, never really like said anything to her or like tried to like talk her into a different direction because they were all fine. Like maybe they had their own forms of depression or their own forms of like anxiety or their own forms of stuff, but their families are all fine. And by fine, I mean like how my mom wishes her family was, like all together still and all talking to each other and gathering for holidays and dinners and not feeling like this like divide amongst the family.
What is that about that when you know that all of the weight and the responsibility for your mom not doing well has been placed on you, and yet you see all of these people in her life who could have helped but didn't help. Is that what you're trying to say? That there's
Like I just feel like, so that definitely has been on my mind. And I sometimes, this is going to make me sound super insane, because sometimes I start to question like everything around me and I feel like we're living in a matrix or something. Is that like when I go into even like the doctor's office, I get like anxiety and I get like really like worked up. All I can remember as a kid as well, like especially from like the moment my parents separated, was like we were always going to the doctors.
This reminds me of what you said last session about feeling scared all the time.
Yeah.
Like there's no place where your body feels like you can be at rest.
Like I just feel like sometimes I feel like the presence of like my mom or like my grandma or like
just, and they would be saying what?
Just like I just feel like their presence. It's weird. And they're like, my grandma's dead, my mom's alive, but I just feel like when I'm sitting talking to a doctor and the doctor's asking me if I'm depressed, or you know, in the past where someone's like offered me meds or like antidepressants, I feel like that someone in my family has been there before and like they went down a path that was like me. I'm like a bit more stubborn or a bit more like, I don't know, like I'm taking a bit more action, I guess, to like not go down the same similar path.
So is that like you breaking the cycles in your family?
Probably.
Or is that you, I mean, I can hear a bunch of things, like maybe the breaking the cycles, but also feeling the weight of your family of origin, your family history. Every choice that you make, it sounds like that gets measured against what they did and what they would have done and what they would think about what you're doing. It's like all of the choices you make in your life, you see in the context of, you know, these women who've come before you.
Yeah. Is that weird?
What do you mean, is that weird?
Like, I don't know if that's, like, normal.
What if someone you love asks you to help them die? What would you say? This is the powerful question at the heart of The Ultimate Choice. The series follows the journey of Michael and his wife Anne as they grapple with his request to choose the way he wants to die. I'm Rob Cribb, and through their story, I learned a lot about my own family. I hope the show is a way to start conversations many of us want to have, but rarely do. The Ultimate Choice is out now.
What you can really hear when you're listening to Sloan is her speech and the way she talks about her life. That's all symptomatic of the trauma that she's been through. What happens when we go through developmental trauma is that something that would be normally cohesive and coherent gets fragmented. I sometimes use the description of seeing a mirror that's been intact at one point get shattered by a blow. All of the parts are still there, but they're fragmented. And so when you look in the mirror, you could still get a picture of who you are, but it's disorganized. Things that would normally be side by side for us, you know, grade 3 memory and grade 4 memory, they might be disconnected for people. So there might be a non-linearity to the way that people describe their story.
What feels weird about it to you?
Just feels like, I don't know, it scares me. I have to tell you this one thing though before I get like totally lose it, because I meant to mention it last time and I didn't. My mom and I got into a fight a long time ago now. It's probably like 3 months ago. And she said something to me that like kind of like jarred me. She said to me like, I'm going to do something and it's going to be like, you know, it's going to go down in history. And So when I was talking to her yesterday and she mentioned to me she wants to bring friends to my wedding, for some odd reason, I have this like flashbacks of like remembering my mom telling me about a story about our neighbors who had a wedding and they had a reception and there was like a problem in the family and one of the brothers came to the wedding and shot like the groom and shot the bride and like the groom, someone died and he's been in jail and like all this stuff. And told me this when I was like, told us the story when we were like quite young. Yeah. And like, I've always like, I've always felt that like fear when I'm at an Indian reception, like, holy shit, there's so many people here. Like someone could totally kill someone and like get away with it or not get away with it. And this is like kind of crazy that there's like 1,000 people here and I don't know, X number of security guards. So then I normally, when I'm in the shower, is when I notice that my thoughts are like wild, kind of like goes into like negative thoughts and patterns and, and stories. And I just had this like thought that like my mom was going to like try to kill me at my wedding. And then yesterday when I talked to her, I like got really nervous when she was like, oh, I'm going to bring these friends and then wouldn't tell me because I wouldn't put it past my mom to bring like this uncle of mine that like I know my entire family doesn't like. I don't think she's going to do this. Like, I don't think that my mom is going to, like, hurt me. But, like, in the past, my mom has threatened us. Like, I don't know if you remember stories of moms, like, driving their vans off of, like, cliffs into water. Like, my mom said that she was going to do that to us. Like, she has said to us, like, in moments of anxiety or panic or, like, when she's had migraines or if we're, like, pissing her off or, like, she said, like, oh, like, I'm going to burn the house down or, like,
Take a moment. What are you feeling in your body right now?
Well, I'm just saying that I feel like I'm crazy when I think these things.
What do you
things.
Feel in your body right now? What are you noticing?
Like, it's inflating.
Trauma influences all aspects, events, dimensions of life. And often people feel guilt and shame about that. How come I can't be happy that I've just had a baby? How come I can't be happy that I'm getting married or that someone has just given me a beautiful gift or whatever it is, that these things that normally would be incredibly joyful, those too are robbed from people. So not only do they experience the past, not only are they stuck in a way remembering that what they went through is awful, it changes the way that people's brains conceive of the future and the present, making it very hard to stay in a state of joy or rest.
You are going at quite a clip. I can tell that you are getting sucked into this pattern that's really overwhelming and distressing and scary. So I just want you to let your body settle for a moment, take breath, and feel yourself come back into this room. And can you feel me here with you right now? Yeah. Are you in this moment right now with me? Okay.
I could hear that her speech was picking up, that the way that she was talking about things and the way that she was breathing was indicating that there was something really distressing going on for her. And it made me want to help regulate her as a way of staying present in the moment and connected. It seems that when she gets into these experiences or thoughts that feel traumatic for her, that create some anxiety, that it's almost like a runaway train. And as a way of helping her brain learn to not get hooked onto that runaway train, I'm trying to interrupt those cycles. I'm trying to interrupt that with moving towards grounding and helping her body feel safe in the moment so that she remembers that the trauma isn't still going on.
Everything you just told me, how do you think I'm going to answer that question? Are you crazy?
Well, yeah, no, I know you don't think I'm crazy.
Okay, but... and what do you think I'm going to say instead? Mm-hmm. Think of all the things that we've talked about trauma and how it works in the brain. What do you think I'm going to remind you of, or what do you think I'm going to tell you?
That it's normal?
Yeah, yeah. And what if you were to say with stay with that, it's normal... Knowing what remembering what I've told you, what we've talked through before, how does it make sense? How is it actually normal that you would be worried about these things?
Well, because I've heard it before.
Yeah.
It's probably I remember it. Or, like, something triggers it. Like, some sort of, like...
Yeah. So when you have been through abuse, your body is trained to be anxious and hypervigilant all the time. When you've been through abuse, Once that happens, when you have been raised in an abusive home and the emotional abuse and psychological abuse is still ongoing, your body gets hardwired into fight or flight mode. It gets hardwired into always anticipating what's going to go wrong and how it could go wrong. And so whenever you are anxious about something, your brain is going to fill in with all of the stories of things that you've heard and things that you heard way too young. That was totally inappropriate for you to be told those stories that young at all. But your brain is filling in with that feeling, all of the things that you've heard. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but the way that your mind and your body are working right now is totally normal for somebody who's been through exactly what you've been through.
Mm-hmm. But what do I do if I don't want to think like that?
Yeah, so we got to do some trauma processing. Yeah. We've got to prove to your brain that the trauma is over and help your body know that those things aren't going to happen and that you're going to be okay.
Because I do feel like it causes, like, problems in my, like, relationships.
Well, it's causing problems in your relationships, and you can't even drive into that city without your heart beating faster, and you are getting worked up about things that are never going to happen. You know, there's a benefit to
I mean, this. I don't know that for sure, though.
Okay, so that's a function of being in an abusive system, essentially, is if you actually can't say that you know everyone's going to be safe, that's a problem. Because that means that you've been exposed to so much chaos and so much violence that is actually a possibility that something horrible could happen. And that is not okay. That's not okay. Your body's become so habituated and so used to horrible things happening, violence, being manipulated, that it's actually a possibility. That's not right. And you never deserved any of those things that you went through.
So yeah, I had to tell you.
I'm so glad that you told me. I want you to go back to this question. Am I crazy? Am I nuts? You're actually responding totally exactly how I would expect you to, given everything that you've been through. And so we need to continue doing some processing work to prove to your brain that it's over. Because it's not, I don't want for your entire wedding for you to be sitting there having a panic attack worrying that your mom's going to kill you. And it's not okay for you to have grown up in a home where a mom actually said something like that. If you were in her home right now and you were that kid, I would be calling Child Protection Services. That's how bad it was. It's not okay that those things happen, and they completely change the way that your brain sees the world and processes danger and threats. And you don't have to live your life that way anymore. And I'm hearing that resolve in you again. Like, I don't want this. And I don't want this for my kids. And I don't want this. I don't want to be stuck here anymore. And that's a beautiful thing that you're ready to move on. And it just, if I'm honest, it makes me really angry and sad that you lived this way for so long, thinking that this was your fault, that you were to blame, or that you did something bad, or that was actually okay to be treated that way. Mm-hmm. This all started by saying you went to the doctor. She asked you if you were depressed. You had a little bit of emotion come up, and you thought about your family, and then we started talking about fear and all the things that you're afraid of.
Yeah.
A lot that happened today. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's the most important part of that? If you want me to take something away from everything that you've said, what is it that you want me to know about everything you just told me?
What is it that I want you to know? Well, that I'm over, I'm like ready to like move on for sure.
Okay, so we've got one takeaway, that you're over this, that you want more for your life, that you're done kind of being stuck in these patterns.
That I'm not crazy?
Yeah, good. I think that's a really important takeaway. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, whenever I listen to you, I'm so moved by your courage to do something different. And I know it's not always fun, and it takes a lot of energy and bravery to do things differently, but like, I'm just really moved, really, and I would say even inspired. I'm inspired by you, that you are rewriting your life story, and that is an incredibly beautiful gift to give to yourself. And I mean, talking about having kids, one of the best gifts you could ever give them, to be a different version of you, a more healthy and whole version of you.
There's some really interesting research that shows that
unfortunately, it's research in mice, but it showed that in one group of mice who were shocked, who had a shock administered to them, and then were exposed to the scent of cherry blossoms, had a traumatic response to the smell of cherry blossoms. Two generations down the line, their mice, great-great-grandbabies, were not exposed to a shock at all, but had the same traumatic response to the cherry blossom smell. So that's two generations later, two generations of not having been exposed to that stimulus. And so there's so much that we don't know yet about how trauma is passed between generations and what that does epigenetically, what that does spiritually, what that does culturally. But we know that likely there are things that we are responding to out of fear or anger that have been around in our family patterns for a very long time. And one of the things that we can do is to start becoming aware of the way that we respond to things, to take responsibility, to seek help for those things as a way of breaking that cycle. I'm Hillary McBride. Other People's Problems was created and produced by Jody Martinson. Co-produced and original music by Lee Rosevere. Arif Narani is the executive producer of CBC Original Podcasts. If you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find more episodes, plus exclusive digital extras at cbc.ca/OPP and join us at CBC Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook. Next time, on Other People's Problems, we meet Maggie.
I would just get so aggravated because it just, like, it wasn't done. Couldn't have any sort of, like, calm thought or sense of peace until it was done. And it was driving me insane.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.